Hey everyone, welcome back to Bo'aida the podcast. Again, sorry for my voice, I am still in Pack South recovery mode, but we have another interview, this time with Alex Suray, one of the producers on Dungeon Defenders Awakened from Chromatic Games. Find out what makes this next game in the franchise so special and how the studio dedicates itself to avoiding things like crunch as well as listening to its community. So thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
So I'm Alex Ray. I'm a producer at Chromatic Games. I handle production for all of our content, all of our design. I split also some of our marketing responsibilities. I look over all of our social media. I'm the director for community management as well. And pretty much just anything that comes my way. So what I do is I help make sure that all the work that we need to get done gets done on time. So we have everything laid out in calendars that say when tasks need to be done. I work with our teams to make sure that, you know, with our content, that the direction that we need to be going in is fulfilled so that we don't have to have back and forth with our directors constantly. Work with our design to make sure that we're getting builds out on time so that we can have stuff play tested. I'm also constantly playing the game, providing feedback and making like iteration with our design team. And then also doing stuff like getting ready for packs, like making sure the office is still functioning and whatever else I can pick up.
Is there anything that you do not do?
Nat Stonecipher is what we call my work husband. So he's the other producer and he handles production for our engineering team and our QA team, and also splits marketing with me.
Awesome. So you talked about timelines, and while we were walking up here, you mentioned that the game, y'all worked on this on Dungeon Defenders for 11 months.
Yeah.
With, no crunch.
So Augie Live bought the company back in December of 2018, and kind of throughout there, we were kind of figuring out what our next steps were while still supporting our previous title, Dungeon Defenders 2. So we kind of locked down the direction we wanted to go in February of last year, and then we've spent 11 months just developing on that. So we've got a game that, you know, roughly about a year of development we're going to be releasing towards the end of next month that we're super happy with. And anytime we tell people, it's kind of the same reaction, like, what?
Yeah.
That's how a pre-alpha is. But no, we've it's insane the amount of work that we've gotten. And we've, with our studio, we probably are we've got 3 to 4 people from the Dungeon Defender 1 days, probably. How do the percentages work? Probably 50 to 60% of the studio was here during Dungeon Defender 2. And then everyone else we've hired on, we pulled students from different universities, Full Sail University, University of Florida. There's a bunch of different just game schools kind of in that area. We've brought them on as fresh talent and kind of helped cultivate that a little bit. And they've been putting out phenomenal work ever since.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So what do you think that stems from? Because we're here, there are a lot of people here that we've seen, they're like, this is what it's like in the gaming industry. There's lots of there is lots of that, you know, crunch. And we talked yesterday for our Halo panel, how they just crunched that game together in basically a few months. So what do you think makes Chromatic Game different? Is it because you guys, a lot of you already worked on Dungeon Defenders 1, so you're just we got this? Mm-hmm. Or is it just a general culture thing that you guys cultivated?
I think it's a little bit of kind of A, B, and C there. So the first part is our hiring process. We are pretty strict on it. We're an indie studio. We understand that we don't want to be super crazy large, but with that is going to come a lot of responsibility for every role. So during the interview process, we get a ton of applicants in and we really scrutinize kind of portfolios, what work they've done before, what their experience kind of is, if they have any, which is not we brought in a lot of students as well. And so people that we were really comfortable with that had experience and we brought on as developers through first a phone interview and then in person, and then give them a tour of the studio with our engineers. We give them tests on site. We do some remote testing as well. So we're really thorough when we're bringing people on to make sure that they're going to be able to survive in the environment. We also, for instance, with our content team, we try to give people the tasks that they're going to be good at. So one of those things is, for instance, I work with content quite a bit, and we have a handful of 3D artists. There's a lot of different kinds of 3D art in the game. So there's organic stuff with characters, but then there's also hard surface with environments, and even within hard surface, there's pets. Pets are kind of organic, but there's weapons. there's environments, there's armor. So it's figuring out, like, you know, working with them and figuring out, one, what they excel at, and two, what they feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
And so when delegating tasks out and kind of laying out our entire production timeline, it's looking at, like, oh, would person one be better at these things? If so, they'll get the work done at the quality we need faster than someone else. And so it's really getting, like, very familiar with your coworkers, or at least for me, like, understanding, like, anyone who's under me for production, that I know what they're capable of, and that way we use their time, like, the most efficiently.
So I know we've kind of been talking about all this other stuff. Can you kind of tell us some about Dungeon Defender 2?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I was like, we've kind of gone all the way around. Like, we're good.
No, that's all good. No,
it's been great.
So Dungeon Defenders is a combination of action RPG combat with tower defense. So what happens is you load into a map, and you have these different lanes where enemies are going to be coming from, and then you have a selection of four heroes currently with the base game, where you can build walls that'll stomp them, towers that'll blow them away, traps that'll also blow them away, and auras that might shock them or hurt them, or like they might heal your heroes. So we offer a lot of tools for players to use to decide how they want to attain victory in our game. And victory is defeating all the enemies that are coming your way.
So since the most recent Dungeon Defenders is a piece of the series, right? Mm-hmm. How do you think people who play Dungeon Defenders 1 or Dungeon Defenders 2 are going to, you know, see different from this new game?
So a lot of the development for this was a combination between the two. We did a lot of surveying with our current players and players previously, you know, like, what did you like about certain things? So the way we built this game was we brought Dungeon Defenders 1 into UE4. We ported the whole game over. And then from there, we used that as the base to work from. And so we sent out surveys like, what towers do you use? What towers don't you use? What abilities do you use? What abilities don't you use? Which here, like, the same kind of thing. What are your favorite maps? What are your favorite challenges? Like, we were really extensive with all the stuff that we were asking. And we used that to make data-driven decisions. So we're setting up ourselves for success by focusing on what people like. And then the things that people didn't like or weren't using, we changed. So, for instance, like, our Huntress, she had an ability that made her invisible, but people, it was literally ranked the number one. It's like 80% of people were like, this is worthless. We don't like this at all. It doesn't do anything. Which is fair, because enemies just walk down a lane, but if your character goes invisible and they're ranged, they're not going to care anyways. They're not going to focus on your character. So, instead, we wanted to make the gameplay for her feel like, fulfill her, like, class fantasy. So she's an elf, and so we gave her an ability called Adrenaline Rush, and what that does is she's able to run faster, jump higher, shoot faster, reload faster, just like an overall kind of just boost to her gameplay, because she's supposed to be a very mobile character. So it was looking for opportunities like that to either make something better. So we did, like, a balance pass on some of the weaker towers. We didn't want to nerf the, like, good stuff, so we brought the other stuff up. But also looking for opportunities like, hey, this thing's just not used at all and people don't like it. Maybe we could put something in better that people enjoy a lot more. And so that was kind of our approach with a lot of the gameplay. And then even stuff from, like, Dungeon Defenders 2 has come in. Like, we have these things called lane whips that I think some of you guys might have saw yesterday, which dictates where, like, enemies are going to go.
Yeah.
Dungeon Defenders 1 didn't have that. And so people, especially during PAX here, have been like, oh, this is awesome, because I can, like, learn where they're going to go and understand, like, this is where I need to build. And it's like, yes, that's exactly what it's supposed to do. So we have, like, a lot of Dungeon Defenders 2, like, quality of life stuff that kind of came through. So it's DD1 with a lot of DD2 quality of life brought into it.
That's awesome.
I know you mentioned, obviously, updating. I know we talked about jumping.
Mm-hmm.
Not all characters could double jump.
Oh, so in DD1, characters all had single jump. And then in DD2, we only had, like, the monk and a couple other characters that could double jump. And so we kept having people in DD2 ask, like, can you give us a way to augment our characters to be able to do that? And so when making DDA, we thought about that quite a bit. There's a bunch of games that we'd also played. Like, we play a bunch of, like, MMOs. So, like, World of Warcraft added a class that had double jump. MMO, like, WildStar, all their characters could double jump. So we're like, let's make everyone double jump and see how it feels. And we played it internally. We're like, okay, this feels awesome. Like, getting around, like, feels great. There's, like, a lot of maps we have that have pitfalls in them. And so now if you just walk off the edge, you can still potentially use double jump like to get back to safety. So it adds like a mastery of the gameplay if you're able to have those like little moments that aren't actually technically like the main focus of the gameplay, but it gets your adrenaline up a little bit and you're like, oh yes, like hell yeah, I did it. And so that's kind of like the big focus is like we even increase like the base movement speed for a lot of our heroes. Like the Squire in DD1 was like a slug at first and you had to put a lot of points into it to make it move faster. And so we brought up his base speed and we changed the scaling a little bit with speed so it wasn't too crazy. But we brought all the heroes to just one base speed. So it's fun to get around with. You don't feel penalized. The gameplay goes a little bit quicker as a result. And we're really happy so far with everything we've done with them.
I think one of the things I want to ask too is like, just hearing you explain how you all made this latest game and how much you put stock into listening to your community and finding out what they liked, what they didn't like. And I know a lot of the times for community manager, community dev, it's like, okay, how do we filter out like the stuff that isn't constructive and the stuff that's great? What avenues are you using to collect, community information? Are you just like reading through what they're tweeting about?
For sure.
Are you using a Discord? Like, how are you managing all of that information that surrounds the Dungeon Defender community?
I get you. So one thing that we've done is when we do the surveys that I talked about, we send those out through like a newsletter and also through our Twitter and our Facebook and Discord. We say, here's this, fill it out. We also use like anyone who got the beta, we had their email because that's how we sent codes out to them. So after a while, we sent out the survey saying, hey guys, fill this out. Like this will help produce a lot of feedback for us. And we had thousands upon thousands there. But then we also have multiple like formats like through our forums. We have a DDA feedback session where we just go through, we just pour through the feedback and we take notes and kind of like certain things kind of align with one another. So we just make notes of that. We also have a through Zendesk, we have, which is usually used for support, but from in-game, it links to the Zendesk site where they can submit feedback directly.
Oh, wow.
So in-game, they can play and be like, oh, you know what? This was awesome. Or no, it's usually, I hated this. And then so they go through and they said, this is a bug and you need to fix it. So like we do have like those portals where they can provide that feedback directly from in-game.
That's really cool.
And then we see it. So instead of it just being like, a lot of feedback where maybe on Twitter, they might see a screenshot and it's just like, I don't like how his hat is angled. instead, it's like actually really substantive stuff. And then we also have with our character models, we heard a lot of people say certain things about our Huntress and Monk specifically, which it was mostly about like their heads because the Squire has a big tin can on his, so you can't see his face. And the apprentice has a big hat, so you can't see his either. But they were like, the Huntress looks like she's like 30 years old, but she's supposed to be like a young teen. And then the Monk looks like one of the Three Stooges. Like, what's going on with these? And so we took that feedback and like in our large survey we sent out asking how people felt about stuff, we kind of like started, bringing the Huntress, like doing some things to kind of soften certain parts of her face to make her look younger. And same thing with the Monk, like rounding his face up because he had this like triangle strong jaw. So we like softened that up a bit. And we asked people, do you want us to keep going in this direction? And they said, oh, please keep doing that. So some of our artists even got really passionate about that feedback. And usually it's our senior 3D artist and our art director are the ones who were handling that stuff. But our juniors came in and like overnight, like they spent, it was only like a couple hours after work. Like we were like, you don't have to do it. If you want to do it, go for it. But like, this is not required. And they spent just a couple hours themselves, changed the faces. The next day we came in and we're like, all right, these look really good. Like we're going to go with these. So, which is another thing we're really proud of at our studio. It's like a lot of people want to do the best job possible. And if they see something, like they'll just do it. Like they'll run it by production first. So they don't go rogue because we're very strict about that. But they will like say, hey, like I saw this. Do I have time to do this? And we'll check it out. And if not, they're like, can I come out on the weekend and just do it myself? And I'm like, sure, you can try. Like no promises. But if you're passionate about it, we want to see what you guys can do. And so far, it's turned out like a lot of really awesome things in the form of gameplay and art.
That's awesome.
So for me, in terms of like the game itself, mm-hmm. and that kind of like what players can expect coming from, DD1 or DD2, is a barbarian coming back? Are you giving us a barbarian? Because personally, one of my favorite things about DD2 was the barbarian. It's just a different kind of class.
Oh yeah,
just,
for sure.
Just reckless mayhem.
So for our DLCs, like how I talked about, we're going to be bringing back characters. That's something that we're still kind of talking about, but but we do want to follow the same kind of guidelines where, you know, we have like the squire and the apprentice are like really well-rounded, where the monk and the huntress are kind of like they have either utility or just things that kind of that you can't just really just build with them unless you're playing at a super high level and very active. But we do like the idea of like having heroes that come in that only do damage, like the barbarian. We've even talked about like doing certain heroes that only do defenses. So like trying to get like a mix there through our DLCs is really a big thing that we're aiming to do. And of course, the barbarian is like a huge fan favorite, so we definitely want to bring him back either as a barbarian or in some kind of like variation thereof.
Art, yes. No, I've been kind of waiting to ask more about art because the art style is phenomenal.
Thank you.
I mean, sadly, I haven't played DD1 or DD2. Mm-hmm. This is kind of like my first exposure to the game. And when I saw the booth and I saw this people playing on the screens, mm-hmm. immediately I was like, oh my God, it's vibrant.
Yeah.
It's alive. It's adorable. And yet it's still like the animations in combat are also still really are really good as well. Like mm-hmm. it's a well-rounded piece. So what went into kind of designing that aesthetic and really kind of making it have that it's kind of like a warm feeling. It invites you into play and then you get in and you're in, it's like an intense like, okay, now I gotta find out where everybody's coming from, and like it's this nice blend. Like what went into that?
So kind of like what our art direction was is we all kind of sat around and talked about it for a bit, and really what we landed on was what made DD1 feel like really unique when it came to its art style and how to bring that into 2020. And so our goal was like back in the day, like Saturday morning cartoons, like how like what did they do? And so like within the art style, we've got like we kept things like childlike, like the environments are scaled to like the characters. And they so like in some of the maps that we didn't show here, like there's like handrails. So instead of like they're little like kids this tall, the handrails aren't super tall. They're like their size.
Yeah.
And then also we have like an outline effect to everything. So it adds like a cell shade kind of effect that has that cartoon effect. And we also, alongside, like we offer a lot of agency with our gameplay, but we also let people kind of change our art style a little bit as well. There are options that players can use if they don't like the like outline effect. Yeah. They can go through and turn that off, and it turns game into like a more realistic looking game as well. So because some people were like, oh, it looks too cartoony, and it's like, yeah, that's kind of what we're going for. But I mean, if you dig the gameplay, but we don't want you to just be like, hate what you're looking at, you can turn that stuff off if you want to. We prefer to be on because we like it a lot more, but it's not everyone's cup of tea. So we try to like be as appealing to as many people as we can. So so that's kind of been our approach with Saturday morning cartoons, but also giving people like what they want as well.
Yeah. That's amazing. And you did this all in 11 months.
Yeah, it's been crazy. UE4 was like, it was like in Dragon Ball Z when they're wearing the armor like that and it weighs everybody down.
Yeah.
Like that was what UE3 was. And then we went to UE4 and it was like, all the armor,
hyperbolic
It was like we were just like Super Saiyan, and then we came out and we were all of a sudden Super Saiyan 4. Like we skipped a bunch of steps. So like the tool set's been like phenomenal for us to work with. That said, we again when we come out to this like PAX and we talk about it with even other developers, like, oh yeah, so how long have you guys been working on this? We're like 11 months, and they're like, what? So we're like, is that like, I don't know, does that mean too slow or too fast? Like we don't know. We only work on our games. And they're like, no, like this, we thought like 2 or 3 years. So it's been really awesome to have people come out and give that feedback, and other devs just like, or like have maybe put some fire under them to be like, we should be working faster. But then we're also, they're like, oh yeah, how much crunch? We're like, none. Like we do stuff on like the weekends. Like, you know, we're like, hey, we're doing a big build coming up. If you guys want to come in on the weekends, on like Saturday or Sunday for a few hours, not like the whole day, like we'll provide lunch, but that's whoever wants to. Like, it's not like this person. And so usually like when we have those kinds of things going on, and like we'll have probably that going up to launch, we have like probably 4 or 5 people come in just tweaking stuff, making sure things feel really good. And then we just bring in lunch. Honestly, it just, the whole studio, I think the reason the work goes so well is it feels like we're just hanging out with up with a lot of friends. Yeah. And for the most part, like, I go out to lunch constantly with different people from like our art team, from design, from engineering, like all across the board. Yeah. Or I'm at my desk just being like curmudgeon, like, no, I got to keep working, guys. Like, got to do something else. But that's like a really big thing. We're a really open group. Like, our community manager just started not too long ago, and she hangs out kind of in our design area.
Yeah.
But one of our artists came over and was like, hey, we're going to get boba. Do you want to go get boba tea with us? And she's like, sure. And so now she's friends with them, and like, it's just a super like open and warm and accepting environment.
That's awesome. I think one of the other things I want to ask is like, so one, hearing you talk about the studio has been amazing. Like, y'all sound like, I mean, you read stories about like games that are pushed so fast, and you hear about all the crunch, and like, and you see, you know, and y'all are like the antithesis to that. Y'all are like completely on the other side of the other side of the spectrum. Like, what was kind of like the studio's journey to this point? Like, has this always been like how everything is run, or like was there just kind of like a turning point for you guys? Like, did you see what's happening in the industry change? Or?
So DD1 like had some pretty rough development. There was a lot of crunch. There was a lot of stress in the studio. So like our history way back is like kind of founded on that. Like there's even like some articles written about it, and then we're just like, we never want to have that again. Like, I don't want to work at a studio like that.
Yeah.
And so like, as part of leadership, one thing we do is try to make sure we don't get anywhere close to that. So when Augie bought the company back in December, we had like a lot of agency over like, how do we want all this stuff to be set up? How do we want to make sure people are happy? What do we need to do in order to do that? So one thing we put out was like a handbook on like processes for just how to be at work, which we didn't really have to tell. A lot of our employees are like, they're adults, they know what to do. But it's just like, you know, if you ever feel uncomfortable about something, we have an HR process where you can either submit something anonymously or you can go talk to them, and they'll get your like issue resolved. Luckily, we've had none of that happen.
Yeah.
But we started setting up processes and like having rules defined in the handbook. That really set a good tone and foundation for what's expected within the studio. And, you know, maintaining kind of like a friendly demeanor. Some of our artists were kind of brand new, and they came in and they were like criticizing someone's art, and they were like being a little harsh on the floor. And I kind of went up and talked to them like, hey guys, listen, like, it wouldn't feel good if someone did the same thing about your art.
Yeah.
So like, we can set up like meetings where we can go through criticism, just have it like documented and make sure to be constructive, and just like talking to them like that, just like people, like that fixed the issue like right away. Since like, that was what helped get them into like changing the characters. Like, they came into a meeting with a lot of documented feedback, and then we sat down, spent 20 minutes, went through it, and our director's like, yeah, cool, do something overnight if you guys want to, and we'll see what it looks like. So it's like trying to identify behaviors that like can be corrected before like anything gets out of hand.
Yeah.
And so finding those little things and squishing it like gives them perspective as well. Like, oh yeah, I don't want people like saying bad stuff about mine. There's a better way to do this. So constantly looking for those opportunities to show the better way is what I think has really made our studio work really well.
That's awesome.
I mean, there's one more.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. Do you have anything else?
Who are we fighting in DDA?
Oh, okay. So it's kind of like the same enemy over time. It's been like these old ones. So kind of like World of Warcraft a little bit. We're using kind of Lovecraftian lore. So it's this like ominous evil, probably a little tentacly, that's kind of sending out all these like, or calling all these like enemies to release what they're, the old ones are kind of bound in these Eternia crystals that are scattered throughout different maps. And so once one broke, the call went out. It's like, go free all the other ones. So you're fighting all of those enemies that are coming. And since you're kind of thrown back in time, what's going to happen is you're going to revisit some of the past battles, like especially with the boss battles. So you're going to have like the Demon Lord come back, except he looks a lot more terrifying than he did back then. We've got him kind of like Tiny from Crash Bandicoot, where he's like all over body and like small little legs.
That's awesome.
So we have those bosses coming back, and we're using kind of like this like time rift element to them. So like, they might have some material effects to them that make them look a little bit different. But we're really using like the same core kind of fights and polishing them up, because a lot of people really enjoyed them. And then as we release like DLCs, we'll be bringing in kind of like new fights, or at least brought like more updated versions as well. But yeah, so the old ones are kind of like the main antagonist there, kind of working things behind the scene. In DD1, we ended it on fighting an old one. And so we might do the same for DDA. I'm not going to say yet, because I also don't know. So no,
it's all good. It's
yeah,
all good.
We're looking to support the game, not just get this release out, but we are looking to get it into like 2021, potentially 2022, just giving DLC and having this live support for it.
That's awesome.
I look forward to smiting them as children.
For sure.
So where can they, you know, where can people, whoever's listening to this, right, like where can they find you guys? How can they keep up to date on anything that's coming out, and when does the game release?
So we've got our base website is chromatic.games, but you can also find us at dungeondefenders.com, and from there we've also got a pre-order store for right now. The game will be available on Steam and then also on the respective platforms like sites, so you don't have to just buy it off our website. You can buy it off of the various sites once they're out. That's also where we have discussions and feedback going. We've also got presence on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Just search for Chromatic Games and we're there. And we're looking to release the game at the end of next month.
Awesome.
Cool. I think, was there anything else? I don't know.
No, okay. That's it. You got it.
You killed it.
Yeah.
I blacked out.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure.